Good evening. I thank you for the opportunity to come before you all and speak a portion of God's Word as we study together. I thank you in advance for listening to what I have put together and prepared. On the board behind me, I have written, "Where is your loyalty?" as that can be the sermon title this evening. And first, I want to start and kind of define how we normally think of loyalty and how we put into context the word loyal. The first thought that came to my mind is a thing you may be loyal to is loyal to your country. I know Americans are very patriotic. You don't want to mess with the Americans and their country. They're patriotic. They want to be loyal to their constitution, loyal to their freedom, loyal to their rights. And I've been here 13 and a half years in the United States. And I still feel loyal to my country, my homeland. For me to become an American, I have to pledge allegiance that I will choose America over Canada. And for me, that's hard to do. So loyal to our country is a way that a lot of people think on loyalty. And there's other ways, of course, too. The next one I thought of was to family. People are loyal to their family. That's one thing you don't want to mess with is anybody's family. The worst thing you can do is start talking about somebody's mother. Extreme case, of course, is the Hatfields and McCoys. You just did what the family did. If it meant killing one of them, you just did that because you're a Hatfield or you're a McCoy. You're family. You're raised a certain way. It's who you are, and it's something that it gets tricky if you try changing it. And these things can get very emotional when you talk about loyalties. We talk about political parties, being loyal to a political party and changing lines. Maybe talk about workers' union or being loyal to that and again, trying to cross the lines. Gangs have a big, strong loyalty and for reasons. And you don't want to change that either. And so to change any of your loyalties, as a lot of times a person to question your loyalty on these aspects, are kind of like fighting words. And it can equal anger and violence and you be a traitor. You're punished. I was watching a History Channel show this week, and they were talking about the KKK society, how it got it started and what it was all about. And one statement, one of the leaders, one of the guys said, he says, "This white guy right here, he is my brother. We are a tight-knit group. We're loyal to each other and loyal to the Klan." And so in societies and other things, there's ways that people can be loyal. And again, religion is another one. And that's usually how you were raised. It's usually part of how you're raised, not always. And again, to change that, to change how you were raised, could have dire consequences. Depending on the religion or whatever, you can be ostracized from the family. How could you be disloyal to your parents? Your parents have done so much for you, and now you're being disloyal by changing your thinking. And there's consequences. How could you do this to them? I was in a study with a person for about 3 months and got down to the laying it on the line and, you know, making them make a decision, and this is what the Bible says. And they said, "I see what you're saying, and I see what the Bible says. But in order for me to accept that would mean that I'd have to say that my parents and my grandparents are wrong. And I'm not strong enough to do that. I don't want to fight with them. I can't do that. My loyalty to them is stronger." And those were sad words. There's nothing that I could do about that. They had made their decision, and they put their loyalty in the wrong spot. So why does loyalty become such a passionate thing and involves in our lives? God made us, wired us internally, you may say, to have a need to belong. We don't like to be lonely. We want to be part of something, part of a group. You could start with, "Are you with me?" with one person to two guys. "Yeah, I'm with you." And then it may grow and grow to be something of a mob or group mentality. The desire to be part of something, it can be very strong. It can be nurtured to great strength so that people can be so devoted they will kill others and kill themselves. As we think of suicide bombers, they combine religion and hatred and a sense of purpose and belonging and a service and a loyalty to the cause, and they're willing to blow themselves up. So that just being the introduction, how do we put this into play with loyalty in our role as Christians? The first, and we're going to look at three or four different ways, but the first one I want to look at is our loyalty to the church. And before we can start to answer that question, we've got to see that there's two parts to the church. On a universal level, we're talking about all the saved of the world and those who have gone on, worldwide Christians. And on that level, it's hard to think of, well, how can I betray them? How can I be disloyal to them? There is no such thing as a Christian that has no association with any other Christians on a worldwide level. It is impossible. When you become a Christian, God adds you to the flock. You are in association with all other Christians. The one way you could, of course, betray God and become a non-Christian, you could be lost. We do have an obligation, obviously, as the Scripture tells us, an obligation, responsibility to be hospitable, to be kind, to be forgiving, and we could go on and on. But that's to all men. Galatians 6:10 says, "As we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially those who are the household of faith." So that's not necessarily, as we may think, on a local level with our local Christians here, but that's the household of faith. Again, that's a universal level. We're to be good to all men, especially the household of faith. So what about to, on a smaller level, where we normally meet together, where we normally see other Christians and have an opportunity to do good, on a local level, are we to be loyal to them? We are not to be loyal to the local group as most people view loyalty. Let me repeat that. We are not to be loyal to the local group as most people view loyalty. Not like a country loyalty, not like a family loyalty or a union or a gang loyalty, not like a family in crime. I will defend you. Even if you are wrong, I will lie for you, I'll cover for you. I'm loyal to you. Let's turn over to Romans 15th chapter. Romans chapter 15. Romans 15 and verse 14 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." They had those characteristics we just talked about. He says, "You are also able to admonish one another." In looking up the definition of admonish, it comes more as a caution, as a to reprove, to gently warn. And so we have an obligation not to back up necessarily our brother and sister, regardless of their actions. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 tells us to preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, to reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So again, we have another responsibility to reprove and rebuke and do that with longsuffering. So our loyalty to our brother is a little different than it might be as we understand in the world. This loyalty is much harder. It is much deeper. It's not the typical loyalty we just mentioned earlier. We must lovingly oppose. And that is being loyal. That's loyal to their salvation. Loyal to what God wants, which trumps all. There are some pitfalls we need to be careful of when we talk about loyalty to the church, the local church. We've got to be careful that we don't want to put one Church of Christ over another. That obviously promotes division. Romans 12 and verse 5 says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another." We are one body, and again, that's the universal body. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 17a says, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body." I'm going to say an expression that might take you off guard, but then let me explain it. I have no problem saying that I am not loyal to the University Heights Church of Christ. And I believe we all can say it. In the Army, if you disagree with what they're telling you to do, you don't have much choice. You can defect, go AWOL, and run to Canada. In a local body, if you disagree with what somebody else is doing, scripturally, of course, then you must mention something. Lovingly, as we mentioned earlier, disagree. We cannot defend at all costs. When I left Canada about 13 and a half years ago and left the congregation up there, I didn't take my loyalty from there and move it down here. I'm not a defector of the church up there or a traitor. When college kids come here and place membership, maybe just for a few months or a few years, they are not moving their loyalty. You wouldn't say to the congregation, "Well, I was loyal to you, but I'm going to move it for a little while, and then I'll come back loyal again." What we are changing is our responsibility, our productivity. We are now responsible to a new group. Our productivity is now with a new group. We still have the same obligations under the Scripture. Our loyalty to God is still the same. We must support, participate, help, exhort. But loyal doesn't seem to really fit exactly. We think of the word loyalty, we think of it as it starts early on in life. We think of it as a child raised by their parents. And the parents are the only thing they know. It is their world. It's everything. It's the one they look up to. It's the one they receive love from. It's the one they receive direction from. And at a very young age, if someone challenges that, they want to defend it. It's just natural. And I'm thinking the age is 5 to 7, you may be able to picture this. Sitting down at the playground, and my dad says, blah, blah, blah. And the other one says, "That's not right. My dad says this." "Well, my dad can beat up your dad, so it doesn't matter." And that's kind of the mentality at that age. "My dad's better than your dad because he's my dad." And at that age, they may not know whether they've got a good dad or not. They don't know much to compare to. It's just a natural instinct to defend. Maybe you grew up in the church at one locality, and then you leave to go to college or some other workplace, and you come to another congregation. There might be a tendency to say, "Well, my church can beat up this church, because my home church, it's the one that it's the best. They nurtured me in Bible classes. They're my closest friends, and I'm going to defend them at all costs." Again, let us be careful. We must defend righteousness at all costs. We defend God's way at all costs. Philippians 1 and verse 17 says, "I am set for the defense of the gospel." Jude 1, 3 says, "Contend earnestly, earnestly for the faith." If things are done differently at a different place, what are we to do? We're to examine according to the word. We must rein in our passions and search, not just think on who knows us best and who's closest to us. I've heard of churches where they were so proud of their group and so loyal to each other that they didn't want anybody else to enter. They were comfortable with what they had. A sad story. I've heard of other groups who would lose members from one local place to another congregation that was close by. And they would accuse the preacher of stealing. And accuse the members of different things and would gossip and talk bad about them. And how could they do this and leave us and unloyal to us? Loyalty has nothing to do with it. You do what's right and you do it where you are. Philippians 1 and verse 1 says, stand fast in the Lord. I've heard of others who were loyal to their congregation. And when the congregation was heading towards error and something questionable and sin, they stayed loyal to the group, went down with the ship, and lost their soul. Let's turn over to 2 Peter chapter 3. You therefore, beloved, since you know these things beforehand, beware, lest you also fall away from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. And we know that the wicked do not always come in wicked clothing, but may come in sheep's clothing. What are we loyal to? Turn also over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 24. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And indeed, now I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching in the kingdom of God will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. We can see Paul's loyalty to his death. He was standing on the word, the gospel of God. Another area that we may have a tendency to be loyal to is possibly the preacher. And though Adam's a good guy, and we all love him, and if love what he's doing here amongst us, we have to be careful. Some say, well, I'm not loyal to the group, but I'm loyal to the preacher. He leaves, I leave. It's happened. Now, it's nice to love people. It's nice to want them to stay. But it's wrong to follow them as a prophet or a priest or a king. And, of course, the passage we may think of is in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 12 and 13. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am Paul, or I am Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? Now we say, well, this is pretty simple. We can see this. Yes, it's wrong to follow a man. That won't happen to me. That can't happen to me. This is just simple. We got to be careful. We all have emotions. We all want to belong. We all want to be social. We want to be part of something that's positive. And if our social buddy is our preacher, which he should be, there's an area we've got to be careful of. There's a tendency. Let's say a preacher comes in for a gospel meeting, and he teaches something different than Adam taught the week before. Now on the surface, you know, I never really thought about that, but they're contradicting. What are we going to do? Tendency is, well, I like Adam, I think I'll go with him. No. It's a tendency we might have to fight. That's called prejudice, prejudging. solution is realize that all men can be wrong. And the only way to figure out what's right and what's wrong is go to Scripture. Hard Bible study to decide the issue. And we know what's easier to do. We say, well, Bible study takes a lot of time. I'll just make a choice, one or the other. No. We take the harder route, and we become a better, stronger person because of it. The men of Corinth, they knew that Paul wasn't crucified for them. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah. Well, how was it that they still were having favorites? Following the one maybe whom they liked best. Because they were human. And they need to be careful just like we do. Are we loyal to a preacher? Where is our loyalty? Another area we may be loyal to, a tendency to be, as I mentioned earlier, is our family. A lot of times, family and religion go together. And it can tug at your heartstrings when they go against each other. In the common passage we know in Matthew 10 and verse 37 about loving one over the other. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Many of you here, when you were converted, may had to choose, made a choice between your parents taught you and what you saw as the truth. Many of you have made a choice between your brothers and your sisters, between what they thought and what was the gospel truth. Some of us here, some have had to choose between their children or the gospel truth. And all of those are very, very difficult. The question again is, where is your loyalty? I wanted to look at a song for a moment, and I hope it's the same number as my book at home, number 265. Yes. Faith of our fathers. And this is a fine song, if understood correctly. I think we need to point out and look at something here. Verse number one, faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear that glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. And I think most of us understand what they're talking about here. But if there's a person that just comes in, a stranger, and hearing that first verse, they might be saying, who are we being true to? Who's our loyalty? Are we being loyal to the faith of whatever our fathers held? And of course, we know that's not true. That glorious word is what we're being holding up, is what we're going to be true to. It doesn't matter what faith our fathers were, but we're glad for those who did fight for the truth. And that's what that song is getting to. We're not pledging allegiance to the faith. Our father on his dying bed, he says, carry on what I've started. Yes, Father, I'll do that for you. We don't pledge allegiance to the faith of our physical father. Some religions feel compelled to do this. It makes the experience a little more spiritual in their eyes. We are this, and we're going to hold on. We're going to be strong. We're going to continue. Because that's what we are, religiously. The faith that we hold on to is right here. And if your father held it, that's great. But if he didn't, where is our loyalty? The last one I want to compare to, or ask a question about, is to self. Do we have a loyalty to ourself? Say, come on, Mark, everybody is loyal to their self. They're not going to, you know, rat on themselves. They always give themselves the benefit of the doubt. What are you talking about? Are you loyal to yourself? We've already noticed that true loyalty isn't defending any action, whether it's right or wrong. True loyalty is admitting you are wrong when you're wrong for your own benefit. Admitting, say, yeah, I can't fake it anymore. There's some things I need to change. If you know you're not pleasing to God, if you know there's something that God would be angered about what you're doing, unhappy with, but you're not doing anything about it, are you being loyal to yourself, or are you just fooling yourself? You're aware, you have knowledge, you have understanding. Again, are you pretending like you're going to go to heaven? Or are you being loyal and saying, I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to cheat myself. I'm not going to be fake. I'm going to be loyal. I'm not going to be a false enemy myself. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to make the improvement. If you're not loyal to self, the only thing you're improving is your acting, your falseness, your searing of your own heart. And again, that's not being loyal. The first act of being loyal to yourself is to admit. To admit the fault, the imperfection, to admit your state before God. The second step is to desire to change. To say, I want to make a change. Third step, seek direction, seek help. Fourth step is the direction is right here. God's plan is the only direction. I want to, as a last passage, take a look at the passage that was read by David in 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 60 and 61. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord God, there is no other. Let your heart, therefore, be loyal to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as at this day. Let your heart be loyal to the Lord, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments. Where's your loyalty tonight? If you know that you're not being loyal to yourself, you're not being loyal to God, you're not being loyal to those around you, but being fake, we want to give you that opportunity to change that, to make that right. Whether you've never made the step to become a Christian, or whether you have and have failed, the opportunity is there to come to the front, to make that known, seek direction, seek God's help, and we'll all together help make that right. Won't you come as we stand, as we sing?